machine is most musical, involves a plethora of musical components that sway with the drunken unsteadiness of a gigantic jigsaw puzzle that has no backing or support for its pieces, and at any moment, the pieces threaten to collapse in a total dissolution that will be final and unalterable. Machine is composed completely on devices used to kill men in medieval warfare. It looks like a metalliac harvest of the prickly pear and the durian, welded together by a madman who was wearing contact lenses without protective goggles, and has welded the corneas of his eyes to them. As soon as he completes the job, he will take out the lenses and the innards of his eyes with them and be blind. The machine is heir to the property of the human race, and as such has evolved within its myriad components a complicated and elegant gauge in the form of a clock, one which would, if a comparison were made, put the complicated precision movements of the Swiss to shame, and it is constantly setting and resetting in anticipation of the doom of its masters. The machine is a canopied seat on the elephant's thick-skin back, only the elephant has died in his tracks, and is now a mummy giving sustenance to a host of myriad creature life. And as each peeling flake of mummified hide falls from the elephant, the machine emits a scream, which has the character of a swarm of oversized red butcher ants caught up and struggling amid the torn strings of a philharmonic orchestra. This machine is a liberated construction, of itself, and meant to be so by design. Its sole intrinsic function is to gather the essential data, documentation, knowledge, and expertise to multiply its kind, and in exact same format, with the exact same end, and this task is to be carried out to ultimate and unaccountable manner. The machine is of a disposition to be singular and alone unto itself, but every full moon, as if by magic, great spines of metal appear, and every wheel screams as they are impaled upon them. After this occurrence, the machine sits down to a hearty meal, later reclines, and tries to control its recalcitrant movements. The machine is a carnivore and dotes upon the luxury of meat-eating. It is devised along the lines of a Venus flytrap plant, only it does not use an enmeshing trap or hidden spines to capture its prey, but an abundance upon abundance of dials and gauges, which must be read. The victim goes quietly in the end, amid visions of numerical and technical deafness at dead, because of their plenty in cornucopia, as if injected with curare. The machine is a lacuna in the historical development of machinery. It has, as if required of it, a visage, in the form of the most basic of metal components, and it lazily stands in the fields like an overaged whore and chews grasses. The machine is used solely for executions, and contained therein on black steel walls displayed with preeminent grace. In the centre of the museum are all the devices of the trade, and as each member of the human race awaits, singly, in prolepsis, upon the impaled iron ramp, there comes the regular sounds, with accompanying intervals of the machine's function being sated. The machine is largely conceived of bizarre insect forms, which, having been cast in the goldsmith's shop, bears something of his avarice. If one moves close to the machine for the purpose of inspection, the gong loudly bursts out, and the insects then begin to devour each other in a furor, leaving in the end only one large, shining, orficulous insect, iridescent and with a smile of digestion. The machine's owner is then required to send his messenger boy to the goldsmith's for replacements. The machine of perpetual motion defies description. However, somewhere in its inner core are lying the past, the present, and the future. And with this trio, I am involved in a polygraphy, which open gaping jaws and a rampant genitalia that is precise and competent to the point of cold-bloodedness, for which there is no reprehensibility. The machine appears and disappears with relish. One is liable to find oneself encumbered with it at the most inappropriate and inopportune of times, or alternatively, grow so fond of it that its disappearance comes as a catastrophic blow. The machine gathers waters and does so with a blatant efficiency, and everywhere that it goes, or it is most marvelled and acutely so, it desiccates. The waters are then recycled through its complex apparatus involving a myriad of pipes, pumps, tubes, retorts, distillation devices, and return neatly bottled and labelled to the entity, geography, substance, device, growth, organism, thing from whence it originally was taken. The machine is for festive occasions and can produce all the appropriate and required commodities and paraphernalia for the pomp, a total repertoire of musics and songs, an unlimited supply of costume and apparel, and unbounded supplies of foods and drinks. However, its awareness is such that it does not recognize a celebration, and so lies resting silently in the middle of a vacant field. The machine has some vitality. In fact, it vibrates emotions with something of the intent and adeptness of the Medjugorje's horn. Yet paradoxically, though its many wheels are apparent and easily discerned, it seems not to be the substance for the great thrusts and motions that it will make, as the far, far greater portion of the wheels seem to be disconnected and discreet, involve a momentum that is both laconic and rather Italian, a good-humoured bicycle relaxing on a Sunday afternoon. Perhaps the great generation of the intensity can be shuffled quickly under the label mystery, and thereby avoid any spasms that may interfere with its gears.